10 years ago, the Deepwater Horizon BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico became one of the nation's worst environmental disasters. The spill started after the explosion on April 20th, but it was around this time in June that the oil began to show up on Escambia County beaches. This week, WUWF is beginning a series of reports marking the 10th anniversary of the spill. Today, we lead off with one of the leaders of the county's response team.
I'm Robert Turpin, manager of Escambia County's Marine Resources Division.
Turpin, who's a marine biologist, says he wasn't too worried about the spill at first.
When I first heard that the Deepwater Horizon spill had occurred on April 20th, on Earth Day, ironically, my experience working in the oil field led me to believe that it would quickly be brought under control.
That's because he knew from working in the oil fields off Louisiana and Texas that oil wells and responders have all the tools needed to stop the flow of oil after a spill. But just 1 week after the 2010 spill in the Gulf, he and other Escambia County staff were called to the Emergency Operations Center for a briefing with the Coast Guard and the Florida Department of Environmental Protection.
We were told at that time that the spill would not likely be brought under control anytime soon. And at that point, I think we all realized that the beaches and the waterways and the fish and the reefs and everything that we enjoy here, our tourism economy, was now under a very serious threat.
So when the county commission met, they decided what they were going to do and that they needed a local response plan. We need to get started on that right away. And so that fell into your lap, right?
That's correct, because we were the environmental experts for the county. We were tasked, and my department director was tasked to direct my actions to develop that local action plan.
Tell us a little bit about that. You know, what did it entail? How did you come up with the local plan?
Well, first we looked at the plan that was being implemented, and the boom that was being deployed was farther away from Pensacola Pass and Perdido Pass, and we knew that the oil that would impact us on the inside of the bays would come through those passes. There was very little that we could do. We recognized that there was very little that we could do to prevent oil on the Gulf beaches. The boom sets that had been placed off of Alabama, we flew helicopters over there, and it was not able to withstand some rough weather. So we knew that that was not going to be a realistic defense. But what we could defend were our interior waterways with boom and skimmers to deflect the oil in a way that it could be removed.
This is all happening, coming up with a plan, in the weeks before the oil actually arrived here.
Yeah, the plan was written in 48 hours. It was a very intensive effort. It was a team effort between the Neighborhood and Environmental Services, our GIS department, because they had those geographic tools to assist us. And at the same time, we're watching the oil spill off Louisiana. We had good data on that. We were watching the weather to see when would the oil arrive here. And we waited for 6 weeks. It took 6 weeks for that oil to actually get here. So it was almost like the water torture that you're waiting for this to impact. And, you know, the anticipation of what is going to happen, you know, the worry over how are our beaches, how are our waterways going to be affected. And are we prepared? You know, are we doing the best that we can? You know, did we do this right? Did we make the best decisions? You know, you second guess yourself and you wonder all those things that keep you awake at night.
That brings us to the time everyone had been dreading, in the pre-dawn hours of June 4th, 2010.
I woke up in the middle of the night and I couldn't go back to sleep because I was just so
Wound up?
Well, wound up, worried. There were a lot of emotions going on at that time, as well as just the professional concern that you're doing, you're performing your duty to the best of your abilities. So you have that, as well as knowing that this is our beach community that is going to be impacted.
Since Turpin couldn't go back to sleep, the local native thought he'd go ahead and get up and drive out to Fort Pickens, a place he knew well, for an early morning look at Pensacola Pass.
I drove out to the jetty where the stairs go over the seawall, and there were boom sets out there. You know, so I looked at the anchoring and the boom that were out there, and walked around the point, walked around from, you know, towards the southwest and around. And as soon as I got to the very tip of the point on the Fort Pickens side, I saw this really strange shape in the sand.
What he saw was saucer and dinner plate sized features that looked like peanut brittle or melted plastic.
And I remember reaching out with my finger and touching one. And it was brown. It wasn't what we expected for oil. You know, your anticipation of oil on the water was going to be just black, you know. But this was a dark brown, and it wasn't obvious to me right away that this was the oil until I touched it, and then I realized what it was. And, you know, that was, the world changed.
Turpin's Tarmat discovery on the beach at Fort Pickens was the first local report of oil to the National Response Center. A short time later, the oil spill frenzy intensified when tar balls and tar mats began washing up in the Casino Beach area of Pensacola Beach, where hordes of national news media were staked out. Sandra Averhart, WUWF News.